welcome to the Empower Church podcast. My name's Matt Garner, and I'm the pastor at Empower Church here in Melbourne, Australia. We're so glad you've joined us today, and I am believing that today's message is not only going to inspire you and encourage you, but it's going to empower, equip, and challenge you to be everything that God has called you to be. Hey, if you want more information about what we're up to at Empower Church, just jump on our website, empowerchurch.co, and all the details are there. We really hope that you enjoy the message. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to have you here today. God is good. He's very good. Very good. God is good. So good. Praise Jesus. So good. Well, we're just humbled by you being here today. More importantly, just humbled by the presence of Jesus. We don't deserve it, do we? And we didn't. We could never earn it. No matter how in tune our worship is, how passionate it might look, you know. But we're just humbled by the presence of Jesus that he would just come. Isn't it amazing? That's miraculous, really, when you think of it. I don't know, but I live with myself, just in case you didn't know. And so I know myself, and I know my shortcomings, and I know all the parts that just really fall short of the glory of God. And I live with them on a daily basis. But the grace of God. Sometimes I pray and I don't feel anything, but by faith I believe he's there anyway. By faith, sometimes I read the Bible, nothing stands out to me that's profound. But I live with this kind of but God attitude. That's like, I don't deserve it. None of us do. Hate to break it to you, but that's the first pastoral moment of the service. You're not good enough. Neither am I. But we have a God that is so loving and kind and gracious. And the work that he did on the cross means we don't have to strive for it anymore. We just receive it. And so if you're feeling downcast or just kind of guilty or condemned or just, you know, feeling like I don't live up to the standard, you know, the truth is you can only do that in the person of Jesus. Like the Bible teaches us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're not the righteousness of God because we're good people, because we didn't steal, or because there's people that we look around in the world that do worse things than we do. That's what religion does. But it's just the grace of God. And we thank him for his grace. Amen. We really do. We honor him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're here by the Holy Spirit. Come and move up and down these aisles today. Come and move. Let your glory be released. Father, do it in a way today that really challenges the mindset of striving and works in the Pentecostal church. Just show up, Father. Just show up. And you always do, Father, and you're always faithful. And so right now, Father, as we pray, as we come into this time of the Word, we open up our hearts and we ask for the grace and the capacity to receive words from you today. We believe that your word is spirit and it is life, and we ask for it to speak into our spirit and change every part of who we are from the inside out. We pray today, Father, for that grace and that capacity to become the people that you've called us to become. Change us, Father. Lord, we can sit here and acknowledge that whilst we love coming and gathering as the church here on Sundays to worship you and to be empowered and to grow and to connect with others. Lord, we need God's strategies to reach our world. We need a God kind of grace to come on us, to cause us to rise in our workplaces, in our families, in our homes. We need a God kind of anointing, Father, that gives us authority over demonic realms in this region. Father, we need the kind of light revelation knowledge that helps us understand with wisdom and strategy what you're doing in this time so that we can partner with you. Because this world needs to be redeemed, Father. This city needs you. And so we ask that you'd help us be the church that you've called us to be. You said that the Holy Spirit, one of his main descriptions is the helper. And so we're asking, Holy Spirit, come and help us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. God is good. He is really good. You ready for God's word today?
Yes.
Before we do, I don't mean to embarrass them, but so good to have and see the beautiful faces of Ben and Bessie sitting up there. They snuck in. And for those of you that don't know Ben and Bessie, but Ben and Bessie actually helped us really get the church off the ground. And Ben was the OG youth pastor and Bessie. And they're just wonderful people. They've got a new addition. They had baby Victor when they were with us. And now they've got another new baby. They've got a boy and a girl now. Hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Anissa. Oh, Shella Bolsa. And so it's so good to see them. And we just love you guys. It's so, so good. And mate, Ben, looking like shredded. Just take a look at him in the foyer, folks. Don't really, sorry, it's embarrassing, isn't it? It's good. Let's get into the word today. We're going to read a few scriptures. Thanks, Waking. I'll call you up in a minute, mate. You got to bring your own stool, all right, next time. I literally bought this one in home from home so I could sit. It's good times. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 1. Then we're going to read Philippians chapter 4. And today I actually want to talk to you about the mystery or the God technology of your mind. And I want to start having a conversation with us as a church. As we lead into, in June, we're going to lead into a series on prayer, leading into our prayer retreat, which is coming soon, one retreat at a time though. And there's a few key things that we must know and we must understand about how we were created and the different parts that make us up who we are. And so this has come out of a... So next week or whenever I'm preaching next, it might be next week, I'm going to speak on the heart, okay? The Bible says out of the heart flows the issues of life. And so... if there's one place the enemy wants to attack you, it's the heart. This is next week's message, but I'm just giving you a bit of a preview. If the enemy can attack your heart and affect your heart and cause your heart to be hard, and he often does it through offense, okay? And a lot of offense often comes through misunderstanding because we have a broken way of doing relationships. Because we don't follow the biblical pattern of when we have offense in our heart, going down and sitting down with a person. I can't remember the scripture. It's in the Gospel of Mark. Going down with that person. I'm not pointing to you for any reason, Bill. This isn't prophetic. But going down and sitting down with that person and then reconciling. And if that reconciliation doesn't happen, then we take some witnesses with us. And if the reconciliation doesn't happen, then we take elders with us. And if that doesn't work, then we're like, scratch it later. It's all good. Because you can't control another person's heart, can you? And so that's one of the hardest things, especially when you love that other person and you desperately want to be reconciled with that person. It's not always in your hands. And so this is why our identity and our value is so important in knowing who we are in Christ Jesus and what the finished work of Jesus has accomplished for us. And so the heart is really important, but one of the other real important areas is the mind. And so I want to talk a little bit about the mind. Let's start in Romans chapter 8. We're going to read from verse number 1. I was saying that what I did in order for study for this in late February, I was just doing something and the Lord started thinking about the mind. And so I went through every scripture in the Bible, literally every single one, where the word mind is interpreted in English, and did a study on the mind. And so I want to talk to you about a little bit about some of those things today. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the Spirit set their minds, everyone say minds, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Or they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. This is helping us to see, if we zoom into verse 6 really quickly, we're talking about the mystery or the God technology of the mind. And remember, I'm using that word technology really to get your mind thinking. In previous generations of preaching, they might have used the word tool. But I'm specifically for you, for this time, using the word technology, because I want to break you out of your normal thinking as we talk about things about the Bible. Because one of my observations is that all of us, including myself, we've sat in a lot of services. We've listened to a lot of sermons. And so I want you through your mind to be engaged to receive from the Lord. Because one of the mysteries that you're going to realize today is that one of the primary platforms by which God speaks to you is through your mind, And so verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so the Bible's trying to help us to understand that your mind can either produce or participate in bringing about death, or it can be about bringing life and peace. And we're going to learn how and why that happens in a moment. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Where does anxiety live? Anxiety lives in the platform of your mind, in your thinking. And often anxiety, I'm not a psychologist or a doctor of any sort, so thank you, Jesus, for Google. But often anxiety starts with just a simple thought. And it's really what we do with that thought that, and what we allow that thought to become determines the result or the response that we have beyond that. And so the anxious mind is one that has, that its thought life is carnally minded, okay? The anxious mind. Now, this is a very delicate subject in this time, because I'm absolutely aware that people live with mental health issues, people in this room, your family members, and I in no way want to undermine the significant implication, the significant work that you've personally put in around trying to, get free or not live with anxiety or depression or those sorts of things. Today, my desire is not to diagnose or give you a solution of necessarily pertaining specifically to you. It's certainly not to judge you and say that if you've got anxiety or depression, shame on you. It's the complete opposite. It's to help you to understand that your mind is a tool. There's something about the way God created your mind that might give you some keys today to help you shift out of that place of depression and despair and those sorts of things. Does that make sense? If you are struggling in that way, please, there's people here that want to help you and want to talk with you. You don't need to live under the weight or shame of that goes along with depression, okay? The greatest thing that you could do is actually talk to someone. I also know for all of those that aren't in the room that might be listening online, there's Lifeline, there's a whole lot of different services out there in Australia that you can access. And so if you need to do so, do so. If you need to access prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need to just have a conversation with someone, we want to do that. Is that good? So don't be anxious about anything. That's a command. Do not be anxious about anything. But, some of your translations might say, instead, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. So now it's juxtaposing this idea of the anxious mind. And if you've got an anxious mind, here's a real good plan for you to start. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So it says, do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So God, I want you to understand, with anything that you face in life, God always has an instead. Right? Whatever you face, whatever challenge that you might have, whether it's a financial challenge, a relational challenge, maybe it's around mental health, maybe it's around anxiety, like Philippians is specifically talking to, God has an instead for you. And if you would take the time to invest in knowledge and invest in revelation and invest in time in the presence of God, you will be surprised at the goodness of God, because he will reveal to you what that instead is. He will show you what the solution is. If you have a problem with your children or your children's children, or if you have a problem with getting promotion in work or whatever the case might be, God has an instead solution for you. I believe that with all my heart. And so part of this conversation today is us coming to the Lord and saying, God, what is that instead that you might have for us? Help us to understand what that instead is. See, a lot of the things that you and I face in life, right, are actually, demons get a lot of glory in the church. Oh, you with me? We assign a lot of credit to demonic activity, when most of the time it's actually not demonic activity, it's actually strongholds of the mind. It's actually thinking that you have not submitted to the Lord Jesus and allowed him to shape. It's actually wounds of the heart that you've left open and not allowed the Spirit through the church community that you're a part of at times to bring healing and minister to those broken areas. And so you're walking around like a zombie in the church where you're half living, half dead, but it's because you haven't applied the instead of God to your situation. You say, Matt, I don't know what it is. Well, that's fantastic. That question is the gateway of curiosity into asking the Lord, God, how do I change? What needs to happen here? Are you with me so far this morning? You're still there. And so God's got to an anxious mind, God's got an instead for you. And he lists some specific insteads right here. He says, but instead, by prayer. So prayer becomes the technology. Prayer becomes the vehicle and the prayer and petition. In that prayer and petition, I want you to come with a, I'm not speaking on anxiety this morning, but I'm speaking on the mind. But he's saying, I want you to come. I want you to shift your mind from worry and fear. And I want you through the technology of prayer, the God tool of prayer, to come, and I want you to come, first of all, with thanksgiving. But why is that important? Because Psalms teaches us that we enter his courts, his gates, with thanksgiving in our hearts. And so we come. Thanks is also a prophetic technology, because sometimes we're not just thanking God for what we've already got. We're thanking God for what he's about to give us. And so when we thank God, we're prophesying over our future. That's why the Bible teaches us that testimony, in the testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Because whenever we have a testimony, and we're going to do some testimonies over the next couple of weeks, not today, but whenever we have a testimony, there it carries the spirit of prophecy. And what that does is that brings about a prophetic word for someone to go, wow, I can actually do that. In fact, Colin, we're just going to do this. We'll break protocol. Colin was sharing with Steve and I this week about how he was in his workplace and how you just prayed for that lady, and just share that story.
Yeah, so there was a... I'm a personal trainer, if you don't know me. And there's a lady, and she, over a period of time, is going through a separation with her husband, and she said, Cole, I've got all these knots in my stomach. And I'm like... oh, okay. And then I really felt Holy Spirit say, pray for her. And so I said, she's not a Christian, so she doesn't really know anything about it. So I said, can I pray for you? And she goes, okay. So I prayed, I laid my hands on her and prayed for peace. And the following day, she came in and she said, Cole, ever since you prayed, ever since you did that prayer for me, those knots have gone. And even a week later, she said they're still gone. So it was amazing.
Just wait here, Cole. Oh, all right, go back to your seat. So much authority on the mic. No, you're good, bro. I kind of went blah, blah, blah. So who here this morning has been carrying that sense of those knots in their stomach today? Just give me a wave. Who are you? Awesome. One, two, three, four. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Awesome. So this is how it works. See, the spirit of prophecy is in this. And so all Colin did was step out in faith. But now what it's done is now we're in a totally different place. Colin didn't know, we didn't set this up. I didn't ask Colin to do this. And you know who, raise your hand. You're not like some weird plant from American Christian TV. You know what I'm saying? That happened, I'm sure. Well, it happened in that show. It happened in that show. You know, what was it? Chevy Chase. Play on. And so right now, if you are okay with it, if you raise your hand, you don't have to, but we'll love you, because it's going to be hard for Colin to get all around. Just come and stand over here just for a second, if you don't mind. If you raise your hand and you want to get set free from this feeling, I believe the Lord's going to touch you right now. So that's you. Quickly come, don't be shy. It's all good. Come. Look, I'm going to stand here first just to break the ice. Cole, you're going to come, mate? Yeah, come down. Awesome. So cool. And we're just going to have some of the ladies and staff and whoever just come and pray too. Colin, he could be quite intimidating in this. Look, full humble brag as well. Yeah, so I run a gym. Like, mate, we know. We've seen your arms. But we're just going to pray. Is that good? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Cole, just pray over everyone. Pray, mate.
Lord Jesus, We ask for your peace right now amongst all of these ladies here. Lord Jesus, just bring your purpose and your love and just fill these ladies with your Shekinah glory, Lord. May those knots just go. Yes, Lord Jesus. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Bring peace to their hearts and their minds, Lord God. Bless your name. We commit them to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. You guys just stay there as long as you need to stay there. Isn't this good? So your mind, we're just going to keep talking and they can pray. This is fun. So your mind is a really, really important place, because the way Colin explained it to us when we were catching up with him, he said it's like, it just kind of, the impression, the thought, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it just, where does that come? That comes because one of the technologies that God's put in your spirit, in your life, sorry, one of the God technologies as someone being created in the image of God is that he wants to speak into your and through your mind. And so this is why we need to take note of this. And so I believe personally that we are made up. I want you to write these three words down. You might know them already, but I believe that personally, I believe that we are made up as humankind in the image of God, and we are spirit, soul, and body. Okay? The book of 1 Thessalonians is the primary scripture for this idea in the church. And it says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Everyone say completely. Say it one more time, say completely. "That, and may your whole spirit," everyone say spirit. "Soul," say soul. "And body," say body, yep, "be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus." So here we see in one scripture the identification of spirit, soul, and body, all right? So the spirit and the soul are the inner man, right? The body is the temple, it's the tabernacle. John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled, or dwelt is how a lot of the translations say it. It tabernacled. And so one of the reasons I believe we've just come out of our series around ecclesia, why God didn't call it the temple or the synagogue and he called it the ecclesia, is because he wanted the clear understanding that you and I, our bodies are literally the temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul taught us. And so he called it the ecclesia because he wanted you to know that you're actually the temple, right? And so your body, it's really important for you to know that the body in the Western church has got a bad rap. We've blamed the body on a lot of things, right? Because we've interchanged the word body and flesh too much. And so when we've said flesh, we've meant sinful nature. But at times we've muddled those words together and flesh and body have kind of become one. And so then therefore we've thought that then there's something bad about the body. And there's different sections of religious belief that believe that, well, if we inflict pain on our bodies, then, you know, that's a good thing because it's like sharing the stripes that, you know, the Lord Jesus had. That's a lie. That's a lie. Your body was created in the image of God. And your body, when it was created in the image of God, was absolutely perfect. It was designed. The Bible actually says it like this. It says, "You were fearfully and wonderfully made." But your body and the image that your body carries is connected to your God identity. And you'll always struggle with physical identity and have shame attached to that if you don't get the internal part of your identity in Christ right. Over the years of ministry and talking with people that say have eating disorders. And some of those people can be extremely thin, but in their mind, in their identity, they're not. What is that? Is that an external thing in their body? No, it's something else somewhere else. And so I'm wanting you to see that these are connected. The body, the soul and the body are the platform by which sin and spirit are birthed. Okay? So I believe that the soul is created. You still with me today? Oh no, you better be, because we could go anywhere. I believe that the soul is believed to be created when God took the ground from the earth, and the Bible says he breathed into him and put spirit inside of him. And there's a whole lot of different thought on this that's difficult to prove theologically speaking, but the most common thought is that when the body and the spirit of God, when God breathed into Adam, is when the soul was created. Did you know that you and I, humankind, we are the only creation that is created with a soul? This is one of the reasons why the devil hates you. In fact, he is confused by your existence. He wanted to come and check out what all this nonsense was about a man, mankind being created. Because the soul is the area of your life as body, soul, and spirit. We know that angels and demons, they're spirit. We know that then creation exists in that realm of body. But you and I, as the human race, we are the only ones created with a soul. And the soul is the realm of connectivity. You and I are the only creation. This is important for you to know. You wonder why the devil's been giving you a hard time. You wonder why he wanted to come and bring sin, is because the mankind are the only creation that have dual authority. And what I mean by that is you and I were created to have authority and dominion, Genesis 1:26, on the earth. But the soul gave us access to have dominion in the spirit realm too. The enemy, we handed over the keys when sin came. The Bible now teaches us that the devil is the prince of this air, of the earth. But when Jesus died and rose again, the Bible says he took those keys back. And now you and I, as born again believers, have access and can live in the authority that was given to Adam and Eve in the garden. Our challenge right now is that our spirit man has been saved, but our soul and our body are being saved, and our body will be finally saved. This is why 1 Thessalonians says, preserve blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus, because it's appointed unto man to die once. I told you last week that death was a gift from God so that we wouldn't live forever separated by our sins to God. So he instituted death so that we could die. Every one of the people that Jesus healed, think about it, all of them died. Because I know it sounds, it's pretty morbid, right? Sunday morning, death's a gift. Yeah, praise God for that. Yay, the preacher's awesome. But I'm trying to help you to see that your body is being saved, and it will be finally saved at the last day when we stand before the Lord. And as born again believers, we get a new body. It's so exciting. I'm going to get arms like Colin. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get hair like Isaac. Come on. I don't know, I'm just going there. So let's quickly just lean into the mind. Let me give you a few things, and then we're going to go home. You're stuck up there now, Waking. Stay up there, bro. And you're so good as well. I want to teach you today that the mind is like a CPU. It's like the computer. The mind directs the body. It directs emotions, will, and one of its primary functions is decision-making. On the conscious and subconscious level, decision-making. So your mind, just like in your actual body, right? Your mind sends a whole lot of signals through your nervous system, down your spine, to different parts of your body. And your body responds accordingly to those signals, right? And so your mind is like that computer, and it brings direction, okay? I forgot to tell you as well that the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Write that down. So within the soul, so body, soul, spirit, is mind, will, emotions. Mind, will, emotions. So your mind is your thinker, right? Your emotions are your feeler. The will is your doer. Yeah? Second thing about the mind that I want you to write down is that the mind, we've spoken about this a little bit already, is a key technology or a platform by which you and I interact with the spirit realm, and more importantly, with our spirits, right? I want to teach you that today. You get the transformation, that the finished work of Jesus that's happened in your spirit already. Paul taught us that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? And you've heard me say it before if you've been here for a while. Sometimes I don't feel that way. But the truth is it's your mind that allows allows that connectivity to your spirit. That's the platform. Another thing that I want you to hear is that strongholds exist in the platform or the realm of your mind, right? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Often the issue to your freedom and deliverance is not deliverance, it's ignorance. It's because your mind is full of things that are blocking the work of God. And we'll talk about that too. Another thing I want you to write down, your mind has modes, and you're responsible for these modes. I'll explain that and then we'll go home, right? And then the last thought is that your mind is unique. It's no other creation has your mind because it sits in the realm of the soul. Angels and demons don't have souls. Animals don't have souls. Flora, fauna don't have souls. No, just human beings, right? A few things about your mind. You ready? Can we just go a little deeper? Then we're going to go home. Your mind, God created your mind to be like a storage device, right? Let's read some scriptures. Because what I want you to know about this storage device called your mind is that what you put in or allow to stay and dominate the realm of your mind is ultimately what will be produced out of your life. So Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 10, just write that down. But it basically helps us to understand that your mind is primarily filled with what we call thoughts. 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 Thoughts are pretty powerful, aren't they, when you think about it? We have sticks and stones don't break your bones, but names will never hurt you. But the truth is names, when they produce a thought and you allow that thought to stay, absolutely do hurt you. They shape you. The amount of people over the years that have been shaped by one thought, a parent or a teacher or someone said, good, bad and indifferent. Are you with me? And so your mind is primarily filled with thoughts. Write this down too, Genesis 37, 11, right? Just showing you that your mind is a storage device. It says, and his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. What did he do? He kept the matter in mind. So the Bible's teaching us that your mind, you have the ability in your mind to keep things. This is really pretty big when you think about what you're keeping in your mind, right? Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, And you will call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And so God has given you the ability to access the storage device called your mind. I feel like I'm Miles Monroe or something today with all this teaching. To access the storage device called your mind by through you storing it. Job 38, 36, the Bible tells us, well, it literally says, who has put wisdom in the mind? So where does wisdom sit? Wisdom sits in the space of the storage bank called your mind. Isaiah 26, 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So you can make the decision to access this storage device called the mind, and you get to decide what your mind is fixed on. One of the deepest forms of connection with God isn't pacing up and down your room speaking in the spirit. It isn't, you know, and this is just what I know to be true, but it is that silent place of meditation where you can fix your mind. It takes years to develop for most. But the Bible says that you can fix your mind. You can stay your mind on things. And then we know about this storage device called the mind, a famous scripture found in Romans chapter 12, where the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your. So the way that you are changed is through the mind, the storage device, the area of your mind being renewed. And so you must be renewed. You must allow the Holy Spirit through God's word to renew your mind, right? It is just absolutely vital that you are renewing your mind. Most of the things that I believe that we face aren't demons under a rock or in a cupboard or anything like that. That happens. But most of the things that we face in our life are actually a result of unrenewed thinking. And unrenewed thinking can come from the culture that we live in. It can come from the family that we grow up in. It can come from the abuse that we faced unjustly, of course. It can come even from the church environment that we thought was awesome. And then all of a sudden, our minds start developing patterns. And so I want you to know today that on this platform and this technology, God has given it to you to steward, not to anyone else, to you. And so you've got to be responsible for renewing your mind. This is why at the start of the service of my preaching time, I've wanted to open up in prayer, because I want you to realize that this is one of the most valuable moments of the week, not to mention other times, but obviously we're here corporately thinking we might as well make the most of it. We might as well allow the Holy Spirit to do his deep work and start rewiring and reprogramming some of that thinking that we've inherited from culture, that we've inherited from bad theology, that we've inherited from all different places. Because your mind is a platform by which God wants to connect with you. And so if you have unhealthy or thinking that is not in line with God's word, then guess what? When God tries to bring his word, but it's out of line, it's going to be hard to connect. You with me? We're going to do one last thing and then we're going to close. Let me give you these things. Just write them down really quickly. I want to talk to you about these different modes that your mind can have. And I'm just going to give you the scripture references. You can do a bit of homework on these later on. These are some different ways the Bible describes the modes of your mind. I've just called it, for the sake of today, the modes of your mind. The different states that your mind can be in, all right? Where should we start? Let's start here. This is a really, really one that we've already had. But you can have an anxious mind. Write down that anxious mind. An anxious mind. We find that in Luke chapter 12, verse 29. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. So one of the modes that your mind can be in is an anxious mind, right? similarly and close to be connected to it, you can be out of your mind. And this is found in Mark chapter 3, verse 21. So they went out to lay hold of him, for they said he was out of his mind. Romans chapter 1, 28 teaches us that you can have a debased mind. Debased mind. What does that mean? That word debased is actually means like knife. And so actually, if you look up the Strong's definition for it, talks about, uses the word stab. So your mind has been pierced, is broken, is not functioning the way it should. Another one, Romans 8, 7, you can have a carnal mind. We read about that before. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And so in these, I'm asking you as well to do a self audit in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Say, what mindset do I have? What's going on with my, when I'm in that really deep, dark place, or when I'm in this moment, or where I'm, and don't just look at the lows, look at the highs too. What is my mind thinking on? What is it dwelling on? Because remember, there's always an instead that God has. And so what I'm wanting you to do is to identify the mind mode that you might be in, but then turn to Holy Spirit and the Bible and say, God, what's the instead for me to get out of this? Yeah? Last few ones. A futile mind. I've been talking a bit about this already. A futile mind. That word futile means ignorant. In other words, you just have no knowledge. You don't have anything. Oh, listen to that newborn baby. Oh, so glad it's not mine so I can sleep tonight. I knew what that all was. Everyone was like, oh, praise Jesus. Last couple, number one, or the scripture reference for that is Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. Last four, you can have a sound mind. Sound mind. 2 Corinthians 5, 13, For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. 2 Corinthians 5:13. You can also have a willing mind. These are the minds that the Lord wants you to have. He wants you to have a sound mind. He wants you to have a willing mind. That's found in 2 Corinthians 8:12. Second Corinthians 8:19 talks about a ready mind. God wants you to have a ready mind. Timothy echoes that when he says, be ready in season and out. I want you to be ready. Philippians 2:5, this is a superpower for the church, but it says, I want you to have a humble mind, or be in lowliness of mind, or humility of mind. And the very last one is found in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, and it's having Christ's mind, the mind of Jesus, the mind of Jesus. And this is where it's important. If you look to the church for your if you and I look primarily, okay, to the church for our example of what it is to be a follower of Jesus, we're always going to come short. But if we look to Him, often the church, trust me, I'm the pastor of one of those churches, often the church don't have the solution. They don't have the instead for you, but I can guarantee you, I know someone that does. And that is the God of the church. That is Jesus Himself. And so when we ask, Holy Spirit, give me the mind of Christ, what we're doing is we're doing two things. First of all, we're surrendering our own mind. That is one of the greatest things that you can do, is surrender your own thinking. Say, God, change me. I humble myself. I surrender. And in doing so, by saying, God, can I have the mind of Christ? You're humbling yourself and saying, God, therefore my thinking's wrong. If you were gathering your theological stance, your style, all those sorts of things, primarily off someone that you don't know that well off the internet, that can be dangerous. That's why you're a part of a local church and within community, because community is there to help disciple you, help change you. Community, the preacher online, he doesn't see who you are on Monday, but the spiritual family that you're connected to can, if you dive deep into family. Yeah. And so we humble ourselves saying, God, my mind's not your mind. So I need to repent of that and I need you to change me. And when we're saying we're having the mind of Christ, the last thing that we're doing is we're saying, God, give me your thoughts. Give me that instead. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Wonderful Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Use us, Lord. Father, this hasn't been the most kind of preachy topic, but I just pray, I believe it's been just a word for us to that's going to change us. And so I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to receive from you. I thank you for the opportunity to grow and change. I thank you for the opportunity, Father, that you've given us by your grace to be shaped and formed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Emmanuel, Father, God with us. And so, Lord Jesus, as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we pray and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help perfect our faith, even in our unbelief. Help us in our unbelieving, Lord. Help us to believe and change us. And so, Lord, we submit our minds to you, our thinking, submit all that we are to you. And we ask for you to change us in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask for you to change us today in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. You know what we're going to do right now is we're going to wrap up. Coffee's going to be flowing. Hang out. Don't leave straight away. But I do specifically want to pray for some people this morning. And it would be my privilege and honor, and I know for some of our team too, just to stand with you in prayer. And for those of you that are maybe identify with one of those mind modes where you're like, you know what, yeah, anxiety comes and goes, or I can't seem to shake it, or I've tried everything. You know, I've had close family members that have suffered and struggled with anxiety and depression and different bits and pieces. They've exhausted all the medical options and medication options. And I know the weight that it is. And so I want to stand with anyone today that might be in that place and just believe by faith that God can actually work a miracle today. That's what I want to pray for. See, the knots that lady was experiencing in her stomach, to be honest with you, they were a product of anxiety. More people are dying of anxiety in our time than anything else. And so I want to pray with people. I want to pray. And so if that's you, some people are going to leave, some people are going to come. And I'd love the opportunity to pray with anyone. Might not be that. It might be one of the modes I didn't talk about, but is loneliness. So it might be any of those things. You might say, I've got some offense in my heart, in my life that I just need to give to the Lord. And you come, let us pray for you today. Okay, sign up for women's retreat if you're a woman. Just disclaimer at the end there. Get coffee. It's going to be delicious. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Parents, you can check your kids out of eKids. But we just love you so much. And we'll see you soon. But come on, if you want to pray, you can.
You have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
From the top.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake until I lay my head, oh, I will see of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, the darkest night. You were close like no other.
Yes,
I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I will live in the goodness of God
all my life.
All my life you have been, yes you have, Lord, yeah. And all my life you have been so, so good, yeah. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God all my life, yeah. All my life you have been faithful. You've been faithful like no other. All my life you have been so, so good, yeah. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will see of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. Yeah, you're running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after. With my life laid down, with my life laid down, I surrender now, and I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Sing one more time, your goodness, running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, and I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running after me. And all my life you have been faithful.
All my life.
All my life, there wasn't one moment that you weren't good. Every breath that I am able, I am of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. You give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, I will praise, I will praise, I will praise, I will praise, I will praise. Oh, I will praise, I will praise, I will praise, I will praise. The garment of praise.